Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. He's mentioned several places in the New Testament. We see him in the book of Acts. He spends at least one night in a prison cell with St. Paul. Silas, referred to as a fellow worker of Paul, and he's even mentioned by Peter as well, who intimates in, I think, his first epistle that he might have written that epistle at the hand of Silas. He might have been his secretary, so to speak. We're going to be remembering Silas as the church remembers him on February the 10th. Dr. Mark Burkholz joins us. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Oaklawn, Illinois, and adjunct professor of New Testament at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Burkholz, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Beginning with Silas, how would you describe the relationship between the apostle and Silas?
Silas and Paul traveled together on Paul's second missionary journey. They were essentially partners together. They preached together. They got into a little bit of trouble together when the crowds turned against them a few times. They were in prison together, but they were certainly working together in spreading God's word, particularly in what's now modern-day Turkey, into Macedonia, into Greece, bringing God's word to the people who are there.
Do we know anything biographically about him other than his connection to St. Paul?
Silas just simply shows up on the scene in Acts chapter 15. He's one of two men, along with Judas Barsabbas, who are sent from the Jerusalem council up to Antioch to bring the decision of the council there about how to treat Jews and Gentiles together into the church. So he just kind of shows up on the scene in Acts 15, and he's around for a couple chapters. And beyond that, we really don't know much about his personal background or anything other than his connection to Paul and the ministry, which is actually pretty common for a lot of the characters in Acts. We don't get a lot of biographical information. Luke is just simply showing their part that they play in the story of the expansion of the gospel. So a lot of the personal details that might be interesting to us are not things that he really chooses to include along the way.
Talk about the significance of this first encounter between Paul and Silas at this Jerusalem council in Acts chapter 15. What was the issue and how was it resolved?
So Paul has been on his first missionary journey. He's been preaching among the Gentiles, and quite a few of them are converting. But there's a question about just basic Christian identity. What does it mean to be a Christian, and how do the Christians relate to a lot of the Old Testament ritual laws? Are Christians just another type of Jewish believer? Or should these Gentiles be forced to follow the Jewish ritual laws? And so they have a meeting in Jerusalem. This is Acts chapter 15. James, the brother of Jesus, is the one who is chairing the meeting, and he's the one who helps come to the decision that the Gentiles should not be burdened to keep the same sort of laws that even the Jewish people were not able to follow. So this was a really important event in the life of the church, and they come up with a written decision, but they don't just want to send the message through the mail, so to speak, but they want to have it personally delivered by two men they choose who will bring this decision and help the folks at Antioch really understand what was going on at the time. So they send that along with both Judas Barsabbas and with Silas. And it mentions how that while they're there, they're encouraging the folks at Antioch. They're preaching there, bringing this connection between the growing church and the various locations and making sure that there's peace and unity together in the faith.
So that second missionary journey, Paul's second missionary journey, on which Silas then accompanies him, has kind of a confirmation of what Paul has already been doing in his other missionary journey.
Exactly. He's going back through a lot of the places that he visited the first time around, encouraging and strengthening the Christians there and saying that, yes, we're doing the same thing that the folks in Jerusalem are doing. We're all together here. We're all on the same page. And then the mission keeps going, not necessarily the way that Paul expects it, but ends up going beyond what his initial plans and expectations were.
Paul is intentionally going into Gentile territory. He's going into Greek cities, and or what we'd think of as Greek cities. But he goes first, usually, to his Jewish brethren there at the synagogue. Why did he and Silas do this?
The Jewish people had the Old Testament, and so they had many of the promises of a Messiah. They had a common background and a way to think about God, and Paul often expected and hoped that by preaching and drawing on these Old Testament texts, he would be able to convince them from the scriptures they already had that Jesus was the fulfillment of all of these Old Testament prophecies, and he saw that as a potential basis to start from. Paul himself being a Pharisee, one who was trained in the Old Testament law and traditions, that was kind of his most comfortable territory to be working in.
What lands Paul and Silas in prison when they are in the city of Philippi?
So Philippi was the first town in Europe that Paul and Silas ended up in. They were there, and there was a slave girl who was possessed by a demonic spirit, but part of that was that she was able to predict the future. She was following Paul and Silas around, and it got to the point where Paul just kind of gets frustrated with the spirit and what he's doing, so he casts the spirit out of the girl. But that upsets the slave girl's owner because he is making money off of this process, and he causes a bit of a riot there in Philippi by saying these are anti-Roman customs and practices that are being advocated by Paul and Silas.
Now, the story is famous, of course, of their miraculous delivery. How would you tell that story?
I actually love the way the story starts. Paul and Silas are in prison. But while they're in prison, they are praying and they are singing hymns to God. Can you imagine being in prison and yet singing hymns there in the midst of all of that terrible situation? They are still hopeful and trusting in God, and there's an earthquake which causes them and the rest of the prisoners to have their bonds broken. The jailer shows up, and he's about ready to actually commit suicide because he's fearful that the prisoners are escaped, and he will then bear punishment for that. But Paul and Silas remind him that they are still there and that there's no need to harm himself, and using that as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to this Philippian jailer. And that night, the jailer and his entire family become baptized. Paul and Silas, they try to usher them out of town quietly, but Paul makes a big statement that, well, we're Roman citizens, we deserve to be treated better than this, and they spend some time with Lydia before they are allowed to leave town in Philippi.
So there's also a Corinthian connection between Paul and Silas, and Silas apparently is kind of left there in order to finish what Paul had begun. What would you say about that?
Yeah. So Paul continues south down to Corinth. Timothy and Silas are left in Thessalonica for a brief period of time in Berea up in the north. And eventually they do meet up with Paul in Corinth. Paul continues on to Ephesus, and we simply don't hear anything about Silas after he lands in Corinth. There's no more mention of him in the book of Acts beyond his being there with Paul in Corinth. There are some later church legends that Silas eventually becomes the first bishop of Corinth, but there's no more, at least historical, references to him in Scripture. There are some mentions of him in some of the epistles, too, and even a possible reference in 1 Peter chapter 5, so there's some thought that he ended up with Peter in Rome at some point. But he just kind of disappears from the scene once he reaches Corinth in the book of Acts.
That verse in 1 Peter 5, by Silvanus, that would be another version of Silas. A faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, is what the Apostle Peter says there. Is that indicating that if this is the Silas we're talking about, that he would have been either the courier of the message or perhaps even the secretary to Peter?
My guess would be the latter. It was very common to have assistants in writing letters, and by the language that's written here, the impression is that Silas might have been like a personal secretary or some sort of an assistant to Peter who would have assisted him in composing and putting the letter down on paper. So he would have been of some sort of assistance to Peter in his work there near the end of Peter's life.
Even with the little that we know of him personally, what would you say the church best remembers about Silas on the 10th of February?
Silas was already always with people. You never encounter Silas just by himself, but he was always there to accompany and encourage and support the mission. It's a reminder that it's not a solitary thing, that when we preach the gospel, when we are out there serving the Lord, it's something that we do together, that we encourage and support each other, just as our Lord sent out his disciples two by two. You almost always see people going together and working together and cooperating in the mission throughout the book of Acts. And Silas is just one of those who went along, and the Lord had good use of him.
Dr. Mark Burkholz is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Oaklawn, Illinois, and adjunct professor of New Testament at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Burkholz, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Well, the organizers of the recent Women's March in Washington, D.C. and nationwide are planning something else, a nationwide women's strike. We'll talk about it with Rebecca Curtis of The Federalist after this.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.